Welcome to episode 266 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today we skip the book of 2 Thessalonians and turn to the book of 1 Timothy, the 44th book in our series, 50 books of the Bible in 50 weeks. There are two New Testament books, both letters from the Apostle Paul, written to Timothy, a man who was the son of a Greek father and a Jewish mother. He joins Paul during one of the Apostle's later missionary journeys. In 1 Timothy 1 verse 2, Paul addresses him as my true son in the faith. Timothy is probably no older than late teens, early 20s, when he joins Paul, but he has already distinguished himself as faithful, and the elders notice him. Timothy probably hears and responds to the gospel when Paul visits Asia Minor on his first missionary journey. Some scholars believe that Timothy's hometown is in Lystra, a city in central Anatolia, now part of present-day Turkey. Lystra is about a day's journey, 20 miles, from Iconium, another city Paul visits. Lystra is a military staging post. Being a Roman colony from 6 BC, it has a diverse population of Roman soldiers, Greeks, Jews, and native Lyconians. Paul visits Lystra on his first and possibly second missionary journeys. At the time, Lystra is a pagan city filled with idolatry honoring the Greek gods and goddesses. A temple dedicated to Zeus is just outside the city. Paul's normal practice is to preach in the local synagogue just before engaging the Gentiles, often in a marketplace. Lystra, however, may have been the first city in which the apostle and his team preach directly to Gentiles without beginning in the synagogues. When Paul heals a crippled man in Lystra, the priest of Zeus brings bulls and wreaths to sacrifice to Paul, believing him to be an incarnation of the god Hermes. Paul and Barnabas plead with the crowd not to do such a thing, crying,
"Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and bring you good news, that you should turn from these vain things to the living God, who made the sky, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who in the generations gone by allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways. Yet he didn't leave himself without witness, in that he did good and gave you rains from the sky and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness."
Using all the force they could muster, the missionaries barely prevented the Lyconians from offering the sacrifices. A good reputation was a characteristic that Paul valued immensely. In the time after his conversion, Timothy becomes an active member of his local church, and his faithfulness and integrity earn the attention of the bishops. When Paul learns of this, the older apostle is intrigued. As a son of a Greek father and a Jewish mother, he's comfortable with and understands the culture of both the Jews and Gentiles. And as a committed Christian, he is an ideal protege for an aging missionary who is looking for someone to eventually be his successor. Paul enlists Timothy as a mentee, and the younger man serves as Paul's representative to several churches. And later he becomes a pastor in Ephesus. After Thessalonian agitators come to Berea, forcing Paul to escape to Athens, Timothy and Paul's partner, Silas, are left behind to nurture the young congregation that Paul has established in Berea. Timothy is also mentioned as being with Paul when Paul writes several New Testament letters, 2 Corinthians, Philippians, Colossians, and 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and Philemon. Because of Jewish prejudice, Paul circumcises Timothy, who then accompanies Paul on the second missionary journey. During Paul's three-year stay at the third missionary journey, he sends Timothy to Corinth to settle the divisions that have arisen there. Later, Paul and Timothy are together in Macedonia and Corinth. Timothy accompanies Paul on his visit to Jerusalem at the end of the third missionary journey. He's in Rome during Paul's first imprisonment there, about AD 61 to 63. Between his first and second imprisonment in Rome, Paul writes his first letter to Timothy. urging him to remain as pastor of the church in Ephesus. Paul grants Timothy written authorization to carry out his pastoral work in Ephesus. Though the apostle's letter to the young worker is personal, Paul intends the epistle's content to be read to the entire congregation. In this regard, Paul asserts his apostolic authority both for the sake of Timothy and to empower him in confronting the false teachers who had infiltrated the church. Paul's communications with the churches and with individuals such as Timothy, Titus, and Philemon reveal not only his need for fellowship, but also the depth of his concern for the body of Christ, the church. All of Paul's letters are written to meet immediate situations. Because human nature and human needs remain basically the same, these letters have a special message for us today. In Paul's first letter to Timothy, he gives him instructions and advice for leading the church. He also exhorts Timothy not to let others look down upon him due to his youth, but to set an example for other believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Paul tells Timothy to be devout to reading scripture, exhorting and teaching, and to not neglect the gift that he has been given. Paul also counsels Timothy to keep a close watch on himself. These instructions remain pertinent to believers today. We too are called, as it is written in 1 Timothy 6, verses 11 to 12, to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. It seems that Timothy has a chronic illness that requires some attention. Paul counsels him on a change of diet to aid the relief of his condition. From this example, we learn that it is not always God's will to heal a person miraculously. Sometimes healing comes through more natural means, if it comes at all. In Philippians 2, verse 22, Paul describes Timothy by commenting, "I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel." The clear depiction of a father-son relationship demonstrates Paul's loving frame of reference throughout his time as mentor to Timothy. In the opening of Paul's first letter to Timothy, he refers to Timothy as his true son in the faith. Paul continues his father-son references in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17, by telling the congregation, "For this reason I am sending to you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church." Additional father-son relationship descriptors can be found in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. Paul's continued use of these references points to his view that his relationship with Timothy is one of instruction, guidance, and care. In addition to referring to Timothy as his son, Paul also describes Timothy as his brother. Interestingly, these brotherly references occur after Timothy's ministry has advanced and his faith and commitment have been tested through all kinds of trials. In Philemon 1, verse 1, Paul's opening greeting reads, "Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, a brother." Hebrews 13, verse 23 contains Paul's announcement that Timothy has been released from prison and refers to him once again as a brother. These examples demonstrate Paul's respect for both Timothy's ministry and his faithful perseverance in the trials that accompany being a committed servant of Christ. At the end of his life, when Paul is in prison and awaiting martyrdom, he summons his faithful friend Timothy for a last farewell. Father, thank you for the faithfulness of young people. Help those of us who are older to be effective mentors, guiding them into a deeper relationship with you. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.